Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:18 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is May 17th, and I thought I'd kick off with the dollar index, which was down today. And we're right in the region of the upper side of the range, and it's pretty natural to expect at least some consolidation in this area. Now, we did push on to new recovery highs, and just at the end of last week, the dollar was about as strong as it has been since 2002. So it's certainly a time for reassessment. So then the question is, how high are interest rates going to go? How committed are the Federal Reserve to doing whatever is necessary, even if it means a recession, to bring inflation back under control? Well, Jay Powell was asked exactly that question in here today, and he said, "Don't doubt that we will do what we need to see." Or what did he say? He said, "No one should doubt." And then he said, "What we need to see is inflation coming down in a clear and convincing way, and we're going to keep pushing until we see that." Well, that implies that they're going to continue to raise rates and that we have not yet seen a sufficiently large decline in the stock market to deter them from that goal. So the dollar is pulling back because we're getting a bit of risk on, and there's certainly the potential here to unwind the short-term overbought condition, and it really is a quite acute overbought condition. So there's really quite a lot of downside that could occur even before we reach the trend mean, and certainly a retest of the 100 level couldn't be ruled out. So then, if we just flip that over and look at the pound, it came all the way back down and tested the lower side of its own range and is bouncing from this 120 area and doing so today in a pretty emphatic manner. Now, of course, sentiment about the UK has deteriorated a lot. Inflation is problematic. You have people at the Bank of England talking about a catastrophe if food prices continue to advance. Then you have this whole question about Northern Ireland and where the border should be and whether there should be custom controls between Northern Ireland and the UK or the rest of the UK. And there's no easy answer to this question, because the open border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland is sacrosanct, and it's basically been written into the Good Friday Agreement. And then putting up the border is something that nobody wants on the island of Ireland, so that's going to take precedence. Then, of course, you have the other challenge that Northern Ireland didn't vote to leave the EU. So that's an additional challenge. But then, of course, you have the unionist community who have universally supported conservative governments throughout the years. And they've been left out in the cold by putting the border down the middle of the Irish Sea. So there's no solution where everyone's going to be happy. And I remember growing up, there was an expression, and it was an Irish solution to an Irish problem. And it so often meant that you would simply ignore the problem. And it was very much the Irish equivalent of the USA's don't ask, don't tell. So I think the UK and perhaps a lot of people in Ireland were hoping that this whole question of where the border would be would simply be ignored, and that commerce could simply go on without any real policing, that there might be policing in name but not in practice. But it just doesn't seem to be able to go away. There are people who keep picking at this particular wound, and it's going to be problematic because there's no real easy solution, and everybody would really need to take a step back and perhaps create a special economic zone. But there's nobody really championing that idea either. So at the same time, it's a difficult question, but is it really integral to the health of the UK economy? Probably not. And the pound is very oversold. Now, one thing that is particularly evident is that UK equities are trading at really a significant valuation discount relative to Europe and particularly to the USA. And the FTSE 250, having pulled back violently in April and into the beginning of May, has at least begun to put in a higher reaction low. Now it's back below the 1,000-day moving average in local currency terms. So if it's going to bounce, this really is an ideal area for that to happen. And if it can push back above the 1,000-day moving average, well, that would really be very positive indeed. The one thing that I think is particularly relevant is that there are a large number of base formations in the UK, and they're basing for a whole variety of reasons. But Petrofac, for example, is a perfect example, where the price has been ranging in an inert manner now for most of the last 2.5 years, and there's been an acute shortage of spending in new fossil fuel extraction. So that's not great for their business, but they are surviving. I thought there was a video that I saw today, and it was an Indian holy man basically saying, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name, but he's saying, all you have to do is just stay alive for the next 3 years. And he was basically aiming that at the startup technology sector. But it's really been the oil drillers, and particularly those that service the offshore sector, have been trying to hold on for the last 3 years without going bust. And ultimately, if oil prices are going to come back down, there's going to have to be investment in new supply. Well, EOG Resources is right at the upper side of its long-term range here and firmed really impressively 2 weeks ago. So there's certainly a lot of interest in the companies that have got a lot of acreage. Now, if we go back and think about the UK, well, Tesco has been in a long-term base formation because the German discount retailers like Aldi and Lidl have eaten into their market share. And the share was in negative territory today, but if it can sustain a move above 300p, well, then that's a clear breakout. You've got Scottish and Southern Energy, which went sideways for most of the last decade and then broke out about 2 months ago. And quite a number of the utilities are doing this. So Severn Trent is another example, and United Utilities would be another example of shares that have completed lengthy ranges and continue to trend higher. But of course, they're being well supported by their dividends. And we've had quite a bit of dividend compression because that price has gone upwards. The banking sector has also been steadying, but it's really problematic to think about banks turning to really strong outperformance. Now, Standard Chartered is probably about the best of the bunch, and it is pushing on to new recovery highs in here today, at least highs for the last 2.5 years. Barclays is attempting to steady, and it's still in a downtrend overall. But if it can push back up and through that 200p level, well, it'll be a bit more convincing that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, because there's been a rivetingly consistent sequence of major rally highs, and that has been broken. So if now we can see a low put in and it can push back up again, well, that would certainly help to confirm that the downward bias it has in fact been broken. And then there's, of course, increasing speculation that HSBC is going to be broken up, and Ping An Insurance has been supportive of that idea. And the share is now holding here above the 1,000-day moving average. So it's at least steadying. But banking has been really an exceptionally difficult environment for most of the last decade. So higher interest rates and stronger growth would certainly help them, but we have somewhat higher interest rates and high inflation now, and that's not great for banks, particularly when they can't pass on those higher costs. So we certainly have plenty of evidence of base formation and firming within base formations within the UK. So when we then think about the FTSE 100, which is characterized by these large companies, well, it's right in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 4 years. But more important than that is that we are still holding the breakout. Even though we've had acute bouts of volatility over the last few years, this break above the 7,000 level has held. And GlaxoSmithKline is coming up to the upper side of its exceptionally long-term range as well. So we have really a lot of UK shares that are in these profoundly long ranges. And if the pound steadies and investors remain very much keen to capture yield and value, well, then the UK stock market should hold its own relative to the rest of the global environment. In China this morning, we had Liu He speaking favorably about the tech sector, and the stock market there is beginning to steady. Now, we've had a really significant decline, and the coronavirus restrictions on Shanghai do look like they might be eased. But that doesn't mean that Chinese people are going to be allowed to leave the country. And Tianjin, which is the port city east of Beijing, had to clamp down on an infection that came in through cold storage. Now, they successfully clamped down on it, so that's not going to be a threat to Beijing. But it does mean that China's going to be in this rather tight COVID restriction environment for the medium term. Now, the repo rate in China is declining, so that's evidence of easing. And the technology sector is beginning to steady. Now, I think investors are a bit gun shy because they've been disappointed so many times. But we had the big upper dynamic in March, and prices have generally held above that level. So that's confirmatory evidence that support is holding. And Alibaba has a very similar trajectory. Now, it came all the way back down to test the low, but then is bouncing. JD.com came through with stronger earnings today despite the lockdowns, and it was in positive territory, although it did open higher and then close lower to still hold some of the advance. But we have evidence of higher reaction lows across the Chinese technology sector, and then the Hang Seng was up by 3% today. So that's one of the better performances, really globally, and it's helping to confirm that we're back on the front foot with regard to China. Now, one thing that I think is rather interesting, we have SAIC in Hong Kong, and that's the big Chinese hope for semiconductor production, and they announced that they're seeing orders being cancelled. And that's probably not all that surprising considering the COVID restrictions that we've had in China. So it would be easy to just latch onto that and think, well, then we're on the cusp of the big inventory reversal cycle in the technology sector. And it's going to happen eventually because semiconductors are a highly cyclical business. And we've had billions, tens and tens of billions of dollars committed over the last 6 months to building new factories. Once those factories open, there's going to be a lot more supply, and you're going to have companies that are already fully stocked with inventory. So it's really not that difficult to anticipate that there's going to be a mass of semiconductors available when this shortage eventually does end. But Taiwan Semiconductor is raising prices, and it's bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And they say they're responding to inflationary pressures. Now, of course, Taiwan Semiconductor is the leader in developing and producing newer chips of the 1 and 2 nanometer diameter. So they are in a more competitive position, and it is firming from that 1,000-day moving average. And I think this is emblematic of what we're seeing right across the technology sector right now. People really wish that they had had opportunities to buy in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So ASML hasn't quite pulled back to that level yet. But coming back from 750 to 500 euro is a pretty substantial pullback. And I think there will be plenty of people who wish that they had bought at 500, and particularly at the beginning of 2021 when it was trending higher. So there's certainly a lot of people willing to buy the dip. And this is equally true then of the Nasdaq, where we're seeing evidence of people coming in and supporting the stock market around this 12,000 level and the region of the 1,000-day moving average, because everybody knows that in a secular bull market, following these big shakeouts, these are the best buying opportunities. But against that background, you still have the Federal Reserve engaging in raising rates, and they haven't even started reducing the size of their balance sheet yet. So we're in far more volatility because financial conditions continue to tighten. Now, we certainly have short-term oversold conditions, and there's the fact that the PE on the S&P 500 has come back to the historical norm. We have risk appetites, which are at historically low levels, and coming back into the risk, I think, aversion rates that we haven't seen since 2008. And then we also have the high cash that investors have accumulated because they've been pulling out of stocks. So I think these are important facts, and they're helping to support the view that this is a good time to buy, and that there is the potential that we're going to see it go back up to test the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, I've got in the money stops on my positions, and I've basically decided that the one that I closed and reopened, I'll basically just leave that at a break even, and I'll take out the whole position if it's triggered. But I do think that the first area of potential resistance is more likely to be the lower side of the range, because we're still in an interest rate tightening environment. And bond yields have not continued to come back down. So I was talking yesterday about the midpoint danger line, and there would be clear evidence if it were broken, but it wasn't broken. And we saw it moving up again today by 10 basis points. So that's a pretty solid pullback in prices, and it's certainly evidence of short-term support for the yield. And then we have high yield prices, which continue to trend lower. So high yield spreads are pushing higher. And generally speaking, when the high yield spread trends up through 500 basis points, and I've been saying for months that there's no point just thinking that it's below 500 basis points because it can move fast. We've seen that over the course of the last week, that it can jump 100 basis points in very short order. The trend alone is enough for caution. Now, generally speaking, when it trends through 500 basis points, that is a warning sign for stock markets. So we are definitely getting a short covering rally right now. And it might even transpire that we could get a reversionary rally. But credit conditions are tightening. And this is clearly evident in the high yield sector. So until we start to see inflation, in fact, coming down, and subsequently then see more accommodative action from central banks globally, well, it's likely then that the rebound on stock markets is probably going to just be a reversionary rally. And I think then when we think about gold and oil, well, gold prices were up yesterday, down today, still holding the $1,800 area, encountering resistance in the region of the simple moving average in here today. It would certainly be ideal if it can hold the sequence of higher reaction lows from that low back in April of 2021, and then push up and through that 200-day moving average. That would be the ideal scenario. But we would certainly need to see a clear upward dynamic to confirm that that's indeed the case. And then oil prices, having tested the sequence of lower rally highs yesterday, were in mildly negative territory today, down $2, or almost $3. So we're not quite there yet in terms of oil prices breaking out. There's still the potential that growth is going to slow, that economic activity is going to moderate, that inflationary pressures might eventually abate because of lower demand. But companies are going to have a difficult time dealing with that, and not every company is going to prosper in that environment. So I think value is still going to outperform growth, at least for as long as it takes the monetary situation to become more accommodative, despite the fact that in the short term, growth might outperform simply because of the short covering rally that's underway. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.